Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
And I'm not trusting to do the intro.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
Oh, I got a lot to do this week.
Yeah, because I don't think we had time to touch on the Titus stuff last week.
I think it was one of the things that got because by us before.
Right, and really, like, last week, the focus was on Daniel Bryan, as it
was.
Been, so. So, yeah.
Last podcast was not titled Titus Touches a Guy?
Yeah, apparently, if your boss is a 70-year-old billionaire, you shouldn't touch him on live television, if not planned.
You know what, though? Like,
who cares?
I could not give you, a fail-safe, tried-true way to impress Vince. Because someday it's going to be, pal around and be one of the guys, and someday it's going to be respectful. And
either way, if, you know, if Vince responds well to, you know, just one of the guys kind of situation, it probably still is a good idea to just do that behind the curtain.
Yeah.
On screen, during a live stream, and right after, you know, one of the biggest stars your company's ever had, is going through an emotional retirement, probably isn't the best time.
Yeah.
To manhandle the chairman.
Yeah, that's all true. And I don't want to say it isn't, but this still, just for the most part, this feels like one of the byproducts of one crazy 70-plus
sure.
year old man being in charge.
Sure. Okay. We got that out of the way. Titus shouldn't have done it. Not the right time. There's a place and time that was not it.
Whatever he did, because it's still not clear what exactly he did.
Beyond that, even a 60-day suspension is way too much.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, it started as 90.
You're right.
And it caved to 60 so quickly.
Right, because I believe the 90-day suspension was, they came out with that.
I believe it was later the same day was when they reduced it. Well, like, it was a 90-day and then a 60-day.
Right, or at the very least, the day after they announced this.
Yeah.
So, around 24 hours.
And maybe just, less. That's a lot of power to let us know that we have when you're trying to sneak book a WrestleMania that we don't care that much about.
Right. And, yeah, I don't know. Still, 60 seems way too much.
Oh, it totally does.
And it's not even like, oh, it's just, you know, it's not favoritism towards Titus, because I don't particularly feel strongly one way or the other about the guy.
No.
It's ridiculous, that kind of suspension.
I mean, it's you touched a guy 60 days, you did drugs 30 days.
Yeah. Both seemingly on a first strike. Like, a first strike for a substance abuse issue would have been 30 days. And I'm not aware of...
Unless this is Titus's second strike of grabbing Vince McMahon out of nowhere. Maybe that's a thing that he's been doing.
I don't know. Maybe his association with AW a few years ago was his first strike with the Kobe joke.
Yeah, I don't know. It shouldn't have happened, and, like, you know what? I feel this is a little bit critical. I'm sitting here being like, this is not a big deal. But I think we are right to make a big deal out of it as fans. Be like, no, that's kind of dumb.
Yeah, like, if anything,
as much as I'm sitting here chalking it up to, like, that's WWE crazy for you.
Like,
to actually just do that and just to accept the crazy is a slippery slope to be on.
If blading is only, like, a few $1,000 fine, playfully grabbing your boss's arm is not a 90-day suspension by comparison.
Especially not when you think about the fact that he's going to miss WrestleMania now. And so whatever WrestleMania payday, I mean, even if he was in the armbar, like, whatever WrestleMania payday he had coming to him, he doesn't have anymore.
Right. I don't know. WWE and Vince McMahon having dishing out punishment that is way too severe is nothing new.
Yeah.
You know, you had the whole Daniel Bryan with the Nexus Invasion situation where they just straight up fired the guy.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I don't have a whole lot more to say on this subject just because of the timing of it and, like, it's been going on for a while and everything that fans should say have been said.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to say, like, as blasé as I feel about it, no, we should.
Right.
We should at least say, this is not how you run a company.
I'm not so sure about, like, everyone obsessing over footage again and again and again, like the JFK assassination. Because that's kind of what's happening with the internet right now. Yeah. Like, they're obsessing.
Unless somebody has a genuine argument of, like, somebody has genuine footage of something that occurred that is worthy of a 60-day suspension, then we can start obsessing over footage.
Right. Well, I mean, well, the footage obsessing now is just saying, like, you know, for it started with the footage on the network, where it kind of looked like Vince was legitimately angry about it, but then you had the fan right. footage that somebody put online from a different angle, where Vince was more looking like he was kind of like going along with the joke. And so that aspect, if that's the angle that we're looking at, then, well, yeah, he was joking around too, so why the 90 or 60 day suspension? You know, it a slap on the hand, a fine maybe, or a week or two off TV, but work house shows or something like that, would have been fine.
Or just the, like...
Either way,
the unannounced but clearly the unannounced but clearly evident D push that we've seen plenty of guys get for, you know, goofy whatever, that's fine enough punishment.
Yeah, whatever momentum Titus had at this point, it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, it's dead and buried after this 90 day or these 60 days.
Yeah, so bummer.
Sure.
Hope Darren Young survives the.
Yeah.
Because he was barely surviving when they were a tag team.
Maybe give him the push instead. Not that. Of all the things that I liked about Titus, I have nothing to say about Darren Young. Like,
yeah, okay. Sure, why not?
He never really impressed me much in the ring on his own. Him and Titus, sure. They're a good kind of 1-2 punch, I guess. On his own, I don't really care.
Yeah, kind of.
Because every time I think about, like, oh, well, maybe his mic work is okay, but then I always go back to his stuff that he did with Nexus and, like, oh, that was painful.
Yeah, but Nexus was so long ago at this
point.
Sure,
oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
The guy has improved.
Yeah, Darren Young is not even the same. He's not the same guy as he was back then.
Speaking of guys from Nexus, we have the leader of the Nexus.
Wade Bennett.
The next big WWE star, the winner of NXT Season 1.
The roadmap knows.
The first ever NXT winner. The one that was going to be the first WWE British champion.
The guy with more gimmicks and yet stayed the same character all the way throughout. Wade Barrett.
Yeah, Wade Barrett has stated that he's not signing a contract.
It's okay. Well, news came out through some other source saying that he's given WWE his notice, which I'm glad everyone's like, oh, he's leaving. He's leaving immediately or whatever. That's not the case. I don't think it's going to take place until maybe June.
It's not. He's gone. But it's also at the same time, it's like he's not in the middle of a huge angle. And if they know he's not going to be there after June, it's not like he's going to get a major push.
Sure. And I mean, you saw how things were kind of going for him. I don't think he was going to get a push anyway. And, you know, it's one of those things where you've got a pretty stacked roster. And I would probably clearly feel like he deserved a better spot or would be wanting to do more than what he's doing. I would assume so. So, why stick around?
I feel like no matter your feelings on Wade Barrett, and I know a lot of people are really, really hot on the guy. A lot of people are really, really cold on the guy. But I feel like objectively looking at it, you got to say he wasn't given his fair chance, his fair due, or whatever in WWE. If for no other reason than bad news, Barrett was killed because it was getting over.
Yeah. Whether you like it or not,
Bad News Barrett was getting over with the fans, and they killed it because it was supposed to be a heel gimmick that people were cheering.
And then they even did like a kind of a face turn. It was after a WrestleMania.
Yeah.
He got like Pyro, like the first time he got Pyro as a Bad News character, and people were going nuts for him, and he got hurt.
Yeah.
And so when he came back, everyone went nuts, and they wanted to be a face, and they were like, no, he's a heel.
Yeah.
Let's ignore this bad news thing. And then, you know, you had the whole King of the Ring thing, which we all, you know, kind of assumed that it was, you know, a way for them to get away from the bad news thing and just call him King Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's British. Royalty. Yeah. Ah, it happens.
And I will say, like, more than a few of his... The stallings of his career were due to injury.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I understand...
And that's not entirely... That's not on his shoulders, but...
That's the kind of thing where, like, I hate it, but I understand being hesitant to push a potentially injury-prone guy.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's just like, it's just kind of a situation that sucks.
Yeah.
I personally fall in the camp that I feel like there is unrealized potential there. I think that there could have been something there. I think there've been several opportunities between 2010 and now that have been squandered.
Sure, absolutely. And you know what? Maybe the independents are suited for. Like,
I mean, it's the kind of thing where, like, he came out as, you know, leader of the Nexus. And Nexus should have been a bigger thing and should have been a bigger deal and was fed to the John Cena machine.
Right.
And so, like, from the get-go, Wade Barrett's career was a trajectory of coulda, shoulda, woulda been big, but couldn't because of a reason.
And, I mean, you know, out of the Nexus, main Nexus guy, Daniel Bryan excluded because he only was in there for one night.
Yes.
Out of the main Nexus guys, at least the original ones, he clearly was the most talented one, both in the ring and out of the ring, mic-wise.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I guess if you want, you can make a case for Ryback, but I wouldn't.
Skip Sheffield clicked for me in a way that Ryback never did, and I can't explain. I can't explain why. Like, that's just
it was that big man in a tiny cowboy hat, wasn't it?
It was literally that. That one the elimination match at SummerSlam. Skip Sheffield looked really good in there. I was like, I can see a career for this dude.
Right.
And then Ryback came and they were, you know, getting the rocket behind Ryback. I was like, I was right. And then it like happened. I was like, that was a very hollow victory for me. Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, it's one of those things where it sucks for him, you know. But maybe him moving on to a different company or a different organization would probably be best for him.
Yeah, and I also kind of understand because, like, as much as WWE is still, you know, the mecca of wrestling, financial-wise, I'm sure, it's got to be a thing where you can see your buddies in New Japan and you can see your buddies in Lucha, and you're like, there are other options.
Oh, yeah.
And, like...
I mean, if Drew McIntyre can leave WWE and make a pretty good living on the indies going back to as Drew Galloway, he'll be fine.
Yeah. And you look at, like, you know, Johnny Mundo is kind of starring in a TV show.
Yeah.
And you're like, that guy, I love him, but, like, he had one good on-Raw title match.
Yeah.
As far as, like, where his career was headed.
Mm-hmm.
So... Wade Barrett, I feel like, could make a nice mark in one of these other places.
Absolutely. So, the only thing that Barrett has said was he went on Twitter and basically was like, I'm not really going to talk about it, but for now, like, I have more to say, but I'll wait until later at a more appropriate time. But for now, you know, get ready for Fastlane. I'm like, yeah, like, you're going to be on that show.
Do you think there is any chance this is any level... of a work, or
really.
Is like a Wade Barrett attempting to like
stir the pot,
force a hand for maybe like some sort of pipe bomb 2.0 thing?
I don't think he's got that kind of pull.
But like, you know what I mean? I don't think he does either. But do you think like he might have, in his mind, this might be any sort of like last ditch effort, where he's like, if it doesn't go my way, I can be gone. I'm okay with that.
Right. Like outcome. He okayed with all this information getting leaked.
Yeah, like, because I can definitely see where you have something where it's like, I'm okay if this goes south and I end up leaving, but I want to have, like, that's why I'm willing to throw this, like, I'm not resigning, you're about to lose me, you have, you know, 4 months to get me to change my mind.
Right.
And so.
I don't know, there's so many other things that I wish were at work, like the Daniel Bryan retirement and the, you know, the severity of his injuries.
The only thing to bring it up is because it's a little weird that he's, like, announced so far ahead of the end of his contract.
Right.
So that it's kind of weird that we have that information.
Yeah.
At this point in time.
I do want to bring one thing up, just because it's weird, and it was something from Raw this week.
Okay.
This Vincent J. McMahon Award that they're giving out this upcoming Monday.
Right.
What is that? Like, it's clearly going to serve some sort of storyline. A made-up award that we've never heard of until just now, but we were many, many times... Michael Cole was reading from the same script saying that it's a very prestigious award, you know, because it's prestigious basically because I'm telling you that it is, because that's how prestige works.
Here's the thing.
And no one's deserved it until now. I'm like, so what happened now?
The thing that's interesting to me is even with all the McMahon dysfunctional family issues, even at, like, the highlight in the, you know, the corporation and everything.
Right.
Vince's dad and Vince's dad's influence is very, it's very rarely very little used for storyline purposes. Right. When Vince Sr. is brought up, it is genuinely brought up in a reverence, in a genuine what he did for the company, what he did for wrestling as an industry as a whole.
Right.
And so it is weird to see that as, like, because I feel like if it was storyline, it would be a Vincent K. McMahon award.
Right. And you're like, oh, that's clearly either going to Vince himself or Triple H.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
So,
because I was had the same thought, because, you know, everyone in the company holds Vince J. McMahon in such high regard that it was kind of weird to think of some sort of kayfabe use for it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if that's the case, they're going down. Like I said, it's going to Triple H or Vince.
And, I mean, they have plenty of awards to give people, like, beyond titles that, you know, you can just hand on, give to people for storyline purposes.
Sure.
You have the armbar, you have the slammies, you have plenty of trophy-like things that people get. And, like, if that doesn't work, like, for Seth Rollins, they just made him a statue.
Right, and because that's kind of what I was thinking. I was like, is this, like, them recycling the Seth Rollins statue storyline already? Like, because it kind of had that same feeling to it.
I mean, it's the kind of thing to, When you want somebody to be able to, you know, spout out, this guy's undefeated at WrestleMania, or Chris Jericho is the first undisputed champion. He always had that feather in his hat. So it feels like this is something being made to give somebody a feather in their hat.
Also, it is like next Monday night is the, like, real kickoff for WrestleMania. You know, that's when they really start the big storylines leading to WrestleMania, because it's the first Monday after Fastlane. So, part of me wants to think that it is going to be storyline.
So, assuming that it is a real award, who could it be going to?
Right, because, you know, in the way Michael Cole was saying it, no one's deserved it until now. So, I'm like, okay, well, what's happened that would make anyone deserve it? So, I'm thinking, you know, the whole Daniel Bryan thing. You had Bret Hart going through his cancer right now, but I don't think they would exploit that like this.
Yeah.
I'm guessing... Probably, I feel like the most likeliest of scenarios would be that this might be Undertaker's last WrestleMania, so this might go to him because he's just, you know, he's such a leader and such a monument himself within the industry. If this is a whole we're sorry Titus O'Neil thing, because, you know, he does so much charity.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of like, you know, what they keep saying about John Cena, Titus is kind of doing it, you know, for real. They're just now paying attention to it lately.
Yeah.
But I swear, if they do that, I'm going to be so mad.
So, right now, you can disagree with me if you want, but it feels to me like the genuine prestigious thing. If I'm going into wrestling, the highest honor that I could hope to be bestowed upon me is the WWE Hall of Fame.
Sure.
If you want to be super snooty, there are like other wrestling Hall of Fames that exist.
Yeah.
But for sake of brevity and purposes, WWE Hall of Fame.
As far as the one that's going to get the most publicity.
Right, and that's and they induct what, 5 people a year, something like that.
5 to 7, I think.
So, it's the kind of thing that's like, so if this is a new thing, is it better than the
right
Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
And like, if this is gonna be a annual award,
or if this is just so whenever there's somebody worthy of it,
yeah,
because that's what they're kind of making it sound like.
And I'm sorry, the
timing of this seems convenient with the whole beginning of WrestleMania.
The end of the day, the guy that has done the most for wrestling in its current state is Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
So like, you know that at some point Vince McMahon is going to get inducted into Hall of Fame.
Right.
And they'll be bemoaning, like, oh, he put himself in his own Hall of Fame, blah, blah, blah. But he deserves it. And, like,
sure.
Sorry, that's right. How that works.
That is.
And so if this is the better thing, at some point it's like, well, Vince McMahon is deserving of the Vince McMahon Award.
Honestly.
Which is going to be weird.
My thinking is that I don't think Vince is going to allow himself to be inducted in the Hall of Fame while he's still alive. That's my thinking.
Yeah?
I just know what I hear about Vince and, you know, all these stories about him, that's how I probably feel like he feels. Like, he's very reverent about his father, but he doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't want to hold himself like a candle even close to him or something along those lines. So I don't know. Like, again, like, if this is a real thing, I doubt Vince McMahon is going to give himself this award, you know?
I don't think so.
And plus, again, like, no one, like, Michael Cole kept saying, no one deserves it until now. What's changed lately, you know?
Exactly. That also sounds like the kind of stuff that, like, Connor would have gotten, you know?
Right, with the Warrior Award, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it's like, is there something like that I don't know about?
Right, because that was something I was thinking about, like this, like, Connor was such a great story, like, it was just so emotional. It grabbed you. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to get that every year. So I don't know if the Warrior Award is going to be an every year thing. And it shouldn't be. I don't think it should be just to give it out every year. Like, I feel like, you know.
So the Warrior Award's interesting, first off, because Warrior said it should be
for the people behind the scenes.
Yeah. For stagehands and stuff like that. Yeah. And so, like,
but they
some creative editing happened so that Connor could get the Warrior Award. And we're like, okay, Connor should be in the whole
thing. Sure, absolutely.
I get why that is a thing. And it's like, I know Connor's like thousands of kids who are like going through similar stories, and I can totally see, you know,
right. That happening. And really just, Connor was the story that we all latched to.
Right.
You know, so that kind of added to the phenomenon.
And so that I could see there being somebody worthy of this Warrior Award every year pretty easily.
And then, honestly, there was something incredible about that because, like, you know, it all started with him meeting Daniel Bryan while he was still tag team champion with Kane.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended, you know, he got to see Daniel Bryan go through that whole thing and win the championship at WrestleMania, and he passed away a week later.
Right.
Like, that's, you know, that's the kind of story where you're just like, that's incredibly sad, but wow, that's intriguing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I felt like if Connor's the only person to ever get the award or the Warrior Award,
I'm not gonna be grumpy about that.
But I'm assuming they're probably going to want to do something other than just that. But I feel like I don't know if they can just give that award out every year just to give it out every year. You know what I mean?
To me, the Vincent J. McMahon Award. If it is a real thing for real reasons, fine.
Sure.
If it is a goofy thing that Triple H is giving to himself,
who cares,
then fine. Both of those are equally fine things to turn out.
Right.
If this is a real thing that turns into a thing, that I'm not going to care for.
Sure. It's kind of like how they were really putting over the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal Trophy, and then destroyed it the next night.
Yeah,
you know.
No, yeah, pretty much. If like
it's a giant trophy that the dressers can't even carry.
If like Miz or Tyler Breeze or somebody like genuinely saved a baby from a fire, and they're like, we need to give this to this. We need to genuinely recognize something. And they take some time on the show to do that because they're so in awe of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, 6 months later, it's part of Tyler Breeze's promos where he's like, I'm the winner of the Vince J. McMahon thing. That's going to be like, So I'm either, like, I want one...
And part of me is still kind of trying to spin this into, like, you know, the Daniel Bryan retirement doesn't work kind of thing. You're like,
I want one camp or the other. That's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, and keep a very distinct line between the two. If
for something like this, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Wow, we talked a lot of time about a dumb award. What else?
A maybe dumb award. We don't
maybe
know
maybe dumb award. We don't know. We also need to bring up the show that was announced, I think, yesterday.
Yeah.
That it was going to be a series over the summer on the WWE Network. I forget the actual title of it, but it's a kind of a global cruiserweight open kind of thing.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest appeals to me, though, is it is more wrestling that is exclusive to the WWE Network.
Right.
Because I love the, like, Table for Three stuff. I love love that they have these documentaries that are going up there. I love that they have behind the scenes, these guys that I enjoy getting to talk. I love all that. But right now, NXT is the only thing where I'm like, that is additional wrestling.
Right.
And what I like is wrestling. Yeah. That's why I got this thing, is for wrestling and storyline, the pageantry and the fireworks of this.
Right.
And so, for the most part, save NXT, the WWE, save for NXT and save for the pay-per-views, obviously.
NXT is mostly non-wrestling.
Well, yeah.
Or at least the WWE
Network is the DVD extras.
Sure.
I'm paying, you know, X month for DVD extras of this show that I love.
Sure.
Which, yeah, I get and is great. But I can only hear so many different variations of Stone Cold versus Vince McMahon was the quintessential rivalry of all time.
As good as the Attitude Era.
Right.
You know.
The fact that here is some additional wrestling. If you love wrestling to the point where you're willing to pay this money, here is more wrestling. Here is, and it's like different wrestling. It's exclusive wrestling.
Sure.
It's because I think so much of our complaints, us people who love wrestling enough to write about it and blog about it and make comments on it and podcast about it, so much of the complaints stem from this Raw product. It's for everybody, not for me.
Sure.
And it's a lot more nuanced than that.
Right.
Which is how we've been able to fill 200 plus episodes of jabbering.
Mm.
But that's like a big all-encompassing reason that we're given of why a lot of our issues exist with the product of Raw.
Right.
So this, like, here's something new and different. It might be, you know, theoretically catered to exactly what you're looking for. That's what's exciting to me.
Yeah.
And that's what's like, oh, this is worth hanging on to this subscription.
Sure. So, just in case, you know, you're listening to this and you don't know what this is, according to them, it's going to be a 10-week summer series that's going to feature 32 cruiserweight wrestlers from around the world. And they're now, like, and for this, they're defining cruiserweight as 205 pounds and under, which I believe cruiserweight was usually 225.
Maybe.
Maybe.
In wrestling?
At least whenever they had the cruiserweight division. And then in other places as well. But they specifically listed 205.
Are you getting these real weights or these?
They can
convenient
numbers, who cares?
WWE weights. Okay,
and
so
word around it is, you know, a lot of it are going to be, they're going to bring in a lot of outside guys, indies, because they're really trying to do the whole worldwide thing and kind of put them on, like, you know, short-term contracts just to cover this. And then I don't know exactly the format of how they're going to determine, but basically it's going to lead to, you know, someone being crowned the best cruiserweight or whatever.
Yeah. Do you think, because they have a specific cruiserweight and there's a specific weight, mm-hmm. do you think there will be any storylines of somebody not being able to make weight?
I mean, you know, there's going to be 32 guys, so it might get peppered in there somewhere, you know, sure. I don't know. Part of me kind of thinks that they wouldn't really do that right now.
Well,
but
part of it is, I mean, we don't know much about this show.
We just know that it was announced.
Which also means we don't know what exactly it is as a show. Is there going to be, like, backstage segments and interview segments?
Or is it just going to be...
Or is it just going to be the matches? Right.
And are they going to just target guys who aren't signed to major promotions? Because a lot of the guys who are signed to major promotions can go to other, you know, other places. Which makes me wish that Trevor Lee wasn't the current TNA X Division champion. Because, yeah. Man, he's good. I know it's me being a homer because I want him and Andrew Everett in WWE. but I feel like Trevor Lee, I think he's now 220-something. So, by definition, he might be too much. And plus, you know, like I said, he's the current...
Yeah, except, you know, they could lie.
Sure, they could. And he also is the current X Division champion.
There's your problem.
Yeah, right. Andrew Everett, however, I don't really think he's strongly associated with any promotion yet. I think he was with PWG for a little bit.
Yeah.
I was like, bam, I think he can make weight. Also, I still think that before the end of 2016, Ricochet/Prince Puma is going to be in WWE in some fashion.
Okay. All right.
Because I feel like he, other than the Young Bucks, I feel like he's the top free agent that they don't have already.
Part of what's really interesting, though, is, like, everybody who's talked about working with Lucha and being in Lucha has loved doing Lucha.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
And I mean, and Prince Puma's, like, you know, one of the top of the heaps. Yeah. So, like, I don't know if he is willing to make that jump.
Sure.
I feel like...
Or this could be a nice, like, toe-in-the-water kind of situation.
That's the thing. Like, something like this where he might be able to come do just this thing.
Right.
I can totally see him doing that.
Mm.
But leaving Lucha right now seems like not a lot of people are interested in doing that, even if WWE is the one that's calling.
Sure.
Then again,
Del Rio.
I would have said the same thing about New Japan 2 months ago.
And that's
I would have been woefully wrong.
And that's something that... I'm unsure about is, you know, in the past, you know, especially with the one-time deal with the NXT Brooklyn with I'm losing his name from New Japan. He wrestled with Tyler Breeze.
Oh, why'd you say
Jushin Thunder Liger?
Yes.
Sorry, it took me so long to get that. So, like, there was clearly, like, some sort of working relationship, or at least, you know, friendship there. I don't know if that's been damaged by all these New Japan guys coming over or potentially coming over to WWE. So I don't know if they are willing to allow some of their guys to come over. Guys from, Chikara or PWG or Omega, because I know a lot of their guys work with NXT.
I would assume WWE has a plan. I'm assuming they're not announcing this and then trying to find the guys.
If this is something that Triple H has thought of, it's probably well-planned.
Yeah.
And he's just, you know, they're going to strategically roll out exactly who all's involved, what all deal is going to be made, and blah, 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 blah.
But I'm kind of the mindset that, like, I'm just going to kick back and enjoy for this thing.
Sure, like, absolutely. Like, if it ends up anything like the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, I'm all for it.
I think we're pretty safe that we're going to get something solid.
Yeah, the show is going to take place at the Full Sail Arena. I think it's going to be airing on Wednesdays.
That's last I heard.
I think it is going to be, like, right after NXT, so I don't know if they're going to pre-record it or these are going to be live. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm thoroughly interested, and I'm excited that they're even doing this.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if this means they're going to have a Cruiserweight Championship now, or this is just kind of a one-time thing. And this is, I'm assuming, like, one of their current NXT guys are going to win, so that can kind of propel their career.
Yeah, I feel like it's taken 2 years, but this is seriously some of the product that I've been really wanting out of the network.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, like a multi-week, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, this is just, you know, their take on stuff that New Japan has been doing all along. Sure, whatever, but... WWE's finally getting it, you know.
Yeah, better late than never.
And they have a product, they have a delivery system that would works perfectly with this.
Okay. So I want to hear your take on the fact that Dean Ambrose had A, lost his title this week, and B, seems to have been the main focus of the entire build-up towards Fastlane. Because there's a lot of people who are thinking, like, there's a genuine possibility Dean Ambrose might be the winner and
right.
the one that's going
and, forward. And, you know, we talked about how, like, hopeful we are that this means that maybe he would win and go in the main event of WrestleMania. And a lot of that stems back to the end of Royal Rumble, when it came down to Dean and Triple H. I honestly think WWE was kind of surprised with the reaction that Dean got.
Yeah.
Whenever it came down to him and Triple H. And honestly, Dean Ambrose is just hitting a stride right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He's just, I don't know how to explain it. Like, his mic work has been really good. Just the stuff with Brock, I've really enjoyed.
He's doing a lot of stuff that it's really starting to feel like, oh, that's a Dean Ambrose match, or that's a Dean Ambrose promo.
Right.
Whereas before, and every time somebody comes up, it's, oh, he's the new Shawn Michaels. He's the new Stone Cold.
Oh, yeah.
And it takes a while for it to feel like, oh, he's...
His own entity, yeah.
And Dean Ambrose has... I don't want to say finally started to do that, because he's always kind of done that, but there have been very heavy comparisons to Stone Cold.
Sure.
And to CM Punk.
He's closer to those guys than they've been trying to do with Roman. You know, they've been trying to make Roman the next Stone Cold, and it's not working, because that's not who he is.
No.
I still think, like, Roman is dying to be a heel. He needs to be. I think he'll do it. I'm not going to say he's going to be the greatest heel we've ever seen.
No, but here's the thing.
I feel like he has a better chance at that.
They don't want Roman to be the next Stone Cold. They want Roman to be the next Rock.
Sure.
And Rock needed that heel run to make him successful.
So this whole, like, forcing Roman down our throats for the past two
years. We're just in the Rocky Maivia segment.
Yeah, he's lasting a lot longer.
Yeah, it's taking too long.
Yeah.
We're in Rock. That's the thing, is, like, he needs a good, solid, strong heel run where he can... He can kind of let that fly and be a super dominating heel.
Sure.
Like, and that's the thing. Keep him as protected and as match-winning as he has been all this annoying time.
But just make him a heel.
Mm-hmm. And I think you have a... I think that's how you have a superstar in the making with that dude.
As far as Dean losing the championship, I'm fine with it. It helps... Because honestly, like, the Intercontinental Championship has been taking a back seat with all the number one contender stuff.
Yeah.
And if they want to maintain this momentum that the mid-card belts has had, it's best to get it off of them so it can be kind of like a... It could stay in the focus of another story, and that's what we're getting with Kevin Owens and Dolph.
And it was also... It was lost in a fatal five-way where Dean was not pinned.
Sure. Yeah. So, it didn't hurt Dean at all.
Do you feel comfortable at all predicting Dean to be the winner of the Fastlane match?
I know we're going to get to it. I'm not. I want it to, but I'm not comfortable
at all. Oh, here's the thing. I am out and out. I am cheering for Dean. I am hoping to see Dean win. I can definitely see a very interesting WrestleMania card shaping up.
You would be willing to lose the whole year-long match... the match prediction.
For the sake of Dean winning?
If it came down to one match and you were wrong because Dean won, I think you would be able to...
I would sleep very peacefully. But I'm going to pick Roman.
Plus, I think you would live just fine without winning those Ring of Honor DVDs that the players are going to give out.
But here's the thing. I remember last year. Remember when Daniel Bryan got Roman Reigns to put the title shot on the line for Fastlane?
Yeah.
And everybody was, they're fixing it again! I totally bought into that. I was like, that's how they're fixing it. They saw we didn't like it. They don't want to fight us like they did last year.
Right.
Here we go. Problem solved. Glad to see everybody's on the understanding.
You didn't have to watch that live. Jerk.
Whoops. Why did that happen? Like it was
a fine match.
It was a really solid match. It was Roman's best match to date.
Sure.
But I don't care because.
But you still. Turned that show off with a bad taste in your mouth.
Well, that was one time. I think it was not so spoilers where he was just like, the plan is to just have Roman win this, you guys. You know, he said in whatever report, he's like, it's, yeah, this is happening and it's going to be put online, but this is just to make Roman look good. He's going to win this clean. He's going to go over Daniel Bryan clean and go on to main event WrestleMania. I was like, you're so wrong.
Right.
They wouldn't do that.
Well,
and do that they did.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm saying all this stuff about Dean Ambrose and be like, I would love it for him to win. I'm picking Roman.
Was that your feeble attempt to, like, have me pick Dean Ambrose instead of picking Roman Reigns?
No, I was just asking. Okay. I do not think I could talk you into not picking Roman for this. No.
I've been here for longer than 5 minutes.
Speaking of the Fastlane card, you want to go into the card?
Yeah, let's do that.
Seeing as we've already done the main event.
Sure. We have the pre-show, which really should be on the main card.
I was going to say, does this feel weird that... Is there anything else?
Is this them trying to make everybody feel like the kickoff show matters again?
I don't know. Is there anything else on the card that feels more like a pre-show match?
Ryback, Big Show, Kane versus the Wyatts.
Oh.
But it's the Wyatts, so they're not going to put them on the pre-show.
Yeah.
But they're more comfortable putting the United States Championship on the pre-show.
And
a 2 out of 3 falls match.
Yeah. It's kind of disheartening because of how good these guys have put on their last couple of matches.
Right.
Like, it's the kind of thing where it's not like the United States title is going to be prestigious once other guys are feuding over it.
Right.
But as long as these two guys are feuding over it, it's going to be a pretty prestigious thing.
Right.
They put on, you know, multiple really, really good matches.
Right.
And fair's fair, it's the first time in a long time where I'm like, we got to start at 7 this year, you know, this time.
Yeah.
We watch it and we start at 8. Everybody, we tell everybody, be there at 8.
It starts at 8. If you're here early, there's a pre-show.
Yeah, we'll have the pre-show on.
Yeah,
but
no one's paying attention to it.
Yeah, we don't pay attention until the show starts.
Mm.
And this time, I'm like, I want to watch the pre-show. I want to watch the pre-show for the first time in a very long time. So it does work, kind of.
Yeah. And that was their strategy.
I don't know if that was their strategy. I don't know if that was their strategy.
Or they just ran out of room on the card, which there's only 5 matches on the main card. So they could have put this on the main card.
Yeah.
But then again, also is going to be the Cutting Edge show with New Day.
Right.
Okay. So they're going to pimp the Edge and Christian show. New Day is going to come out. A lot of people are saying that maybe this is how they bring up Enzo and Big Cass. And I'm like, I don't know. Just because they're working house shows and backstage on TV shows doesn't mean they're going to get brought up anytime soon. Because Bayley's been backstage for a while.
Yeah. I want it to happen.
Sure.
That's kind of my thing. Like, New Day needs to stay together long enough to face Enzo and Big Cass.
And honestly, like, as far as like mic work, Enzo's probably the only guy that can, you know, hold his own against New Day.
In that style. In that style.
Yeah, himself can hold his own for him and Big Cass.
Yeah.
Up against that,
that's
3
guys. That's part of the thing is, like, New Day just has such a goofy, weird style of promos.
Sure.
That, like, when Chris Jericho is cutting what's supposed to be a classic Chris Jericho promo, he sounds like the weird old guy who just doesn't get it. What's hip with the kids anymore?
He wants to throw in a couple of phrases that the kids use and have no idea what in the world he's saying, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas Enzo just pretty much makes up his own stuff anyway. It's like he makes up his own language.
Yeah, so like that's the... I suspect that their styles will gel very well. Watch me be monstrously wrong and it, you know, crash and burn.
But there's so many people are, you know, handling Enzo and Big Cass that ends up being awful.
But I don't care. I want to see them mic off.
Yes. So this would be a great time.
Yeah.
Just like the Dean Ambrose debut imminent kind of situation.
Yes.
From a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
So, matter of fact, every time someone said, because a lot of hyperbole was being thrown around on the internet this week. You know, one of them was WWE was like, breaking news! And they're like, you know, somebody joked, it's like, Dean Ambrose debut imminent! You know, that was funny. But it ended up announcing Berg Sturken versus Big Show. Like, really? I don't think breaking news means what you think it means. That was so dumb. Also, quick side note. If the guy that's going to be on this live network show right after Raw
End the show with him in the ring.
Yes.
Don't end it. He can even be... I'm okay if he's in the final match. Don't end the show with him in the ring.
Right, because he's got to make his way all the way back to wherever they're shooting that.
Like, they end it.
And, like, again, he shows up on the show, and I'm like, I don't remember Big Show being all that, like, out of breath and sweaty. But he had to run there.
He mentioned it. Like, yeah. He's like, I was fine in the match, but I had to run all the way back here.
That was just bad planning.
Yeah, and I get, like... They need to be. I get the whole idea behind, like, this is. See him standing tall now and go to the network to see him, you know, on the podcast. Oh boy. But. Don't have him in the ring. He can be backstage.
Again,
remember, do you remember the Triple H match? The Triple H interview? Raw that night ended with him, like, getting ready to go, yeah. And he's like, you'll hear me talk about it on the Stone Cold podcast. And it was kind of weird because he was like, in kayfab, totally out of kayfab. Like, right, as soon as he stepped through the curtain.
And, like, they cut on the shoulder, he's like, hey, buddy, what's going on? You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Also, again, it's the Fastlane go-home show when you have this huge triple threat main event. And you close that show out with a throwaway three-on-four match against the Wyatts that's going to be on Fastlane.
And, okay, well, let's go ahead and talk about the Big Show thing. We'll get to the card in a second.
Okay.
So, what did you think about Big Show's...
I mean, Big Show, he's got, pardon the pun, he's got a big personality.
Yeah.
And it's a personality we don't really get to see a whole lot, you know, which is kind of a shame, you know.
Yeah.
But you can also tell where his frustration lies a lot of times. And it's not like it's a secret, because he was on Jericho's podcast like 6-8 months ago and basically was saying the same thing. Is Vince happy about the stuff he said? Probably not, but I don't think he really cares that much.
Yeah, it's on one hand, it's very nice that this is a genuine platform where we can hear Big Show say that he's disappointed and upset with the way he's been booked. And on the other hand, it's even more heartbreaking that this guy knows what's wrong, like, agrees with our frustrations.
But is still willing to go along with it.
Yeah. You know? And it's, I get that point of view where it's like, you're paying me this amount of money.
Yeah.
If I was paid, you know, probably a third of what Big Show made, I would happily be dancing for the New Year promo.
Absolutely. I will say this, it was a lot more entertaining than Brock Lesnar Farm Fest. Man, yeah, Big Show's a much better interview.
Yeah. I will say that it kind of made me want to see one last really nice run for Big Show.
Yeah.
One
where he's, you know, kind of allowed to be himself a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know?
I kind of feel like... Because then he's not wrong about being able to, you know, put guys over.
Sure.
Because it does, while beating Big Show is not really a big deal.
Yeah.
Being put up against Big Show is kind of a beat-up, kind of shows that they're investing you some level.
Yeah.
To let you.
Man, they used the crap out of Big Show to get Roman over last year. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I do. Big Show's kind of on the same plane as Kane is, where, like, he's not the greatest in the ring, but he's a, you know, 20-plus-year veteran of the business.
Right.
So
you don't really want to say too many bad things about him.
Yeah,
you know?
And, like, I'm aware that his best days are behind him, but he's still... I feel like he still might have something to offer. Even if it's not in the ring, he might have something to offer to the product.
Sure.
There's like, that level of respect there. He's also a fairly safe worker, which is, you know... Something worth saying is, like, he's not one of the ones that seems to have contributed much to the injury list that we're being plagued with right now.
If anything, he's pretty much scared of guys smaller than him. I've heard stories from Hornswoggle. Apparently, for a while, Hornswoggle terrified Big Show.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was a lot more of an interesting interview than I thought it was going to be. But then again, like, I listened to his podcast with Jericho. So I kind of figured it would be a little bit... like that. I thought it would have been a little bit more tame than what it was.
Yeah.
You know? But then again, Stone Cold seems to bring that out of people.
Yeah.
So I'm interested. You know, for the most part, I'm interested to see Stone Cold interview just about anybody that has, you know, a decent body of work.
At this point, yeah. The weakest one's like still the Page one, but mostly
I don't know. Farm Fest was pretty bad.
See, I didn't mind that. I felt like that was. Here's the thing.
It felt like they were running out of stuff with like 20, 30 minutes in.
I feel like that was a much better Brock Lesnar interview than anybody else
should
have done.
Sure.
Stone Cold knew where to like. I think he
knew
using,
where how to get him comfortable.
He was using a lot of that to get him comfortable, sure. to get him used to just the format that he was clearly. We all know that Brock Lesnar talking is not his forte.
Mm-hmm.
And here's this like, let's have him talk for an hour and do nothing else.
Yeah.
So I think Stone Cold knew what to do there to kind of help out. I think the issue with Paige was, well, one, it was going to be Hogan, and then the Hogan thing happened. And so he had a very limited amount of time to familiarize himself with Paige.
Yeah.
Because Stone Cold decided to be a really good podcast interviewer.
Sure.
And, like, does his research, and
he does.
And it helps that, for the most part, he knows the guys and already know is very familiar with their
yeah.
work and has a history with them. And he just didn't have that with Paige and didn't have a whole long time to kind of know her, familiarize herself with
yeah.
her story.
Because here's
and also her body of work's not that big, so there's not as much to draw from. Big Show has 20 years to pick the best stories out of. Paige has, you know, and I get, yeah, she has some indie stuff, but like,
sure.
still, she has a fraction
here's,
of what Big Show
has. And this goes back to Stone Cold's professionalism when it comes to podcasting and why he's so much better at this than Chris Jericho is. I listened to the Jericho podcast with AJ Styles.
Yeah.
And, man, Jericho seemed pretty ignorant about New Japan.
Yeah.
The current day New Japan. Because I know, like, Jericho was in Japan decades ago and everything. But as far as, like, the current product and everything, like, he basically, like, AJ was bringing up Nakamura. And Jericho was just like, I'll have to look that up. You know, stuff like that. I'm like, okay, come on, dude. Come on. You gotta do your stuff. Whereas, by comparison, I forget the name that, Stone Cold had Wade Keller on, from PWI, Torch, whatever. And he comes on Stone Cold's podcast quite a bit. And they were kind of talking about who Undertaker would face in WrestleMania. And, you know, Wade Keller was like, well, stylistically, you know, because we know how Undertaker really loves the MMA stuff. And stylistically, the best fit with him would be Nakamura. And Stone Cold, like, basically marked out for the guy.
He's yeah.
like, man, I didn't even think about that. Hot dang, that would be great. You know, the old Stone Cold way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he knows his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, like, that. I'm not saying, like, he knew that he was going to bring up Nakamura, so he went and did all this, you know, all this research ahead of time. He just already knew about him.
Yeah.
You know? Because he's becoming more and more of a hot button issue with WWE, so he did his research.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Stuff like that makes me just adore Stone Cold so much as a podcaster.
Absolutely. It is a weird thing, but the fact that like Stone Cold has found a genuine calling as a podcast interviewer.
Right.
Like,
and again, like, because he still loves professional wrestling so much. So, like, there's a podcast where he's literally just breaking down a match, like the one where it was Mick Foley versus Rock on that Raw where Mick Foley won the championship.
Right.
He goes second for second breaking the entire thing down while he's watching it on the podcast where he was talking like, because everyone's like, how? Like,
I remember that because I was listening to them going like, I genuinely want
right.
a show on the WWE Network of this.
Right.
Just air the match
mm-hmm.
and in the, you know, bottom corner, you have them talking about the match, like
right.
just audio commentary of a match.
And see, and that's the thing, like, you know, and
I would rewatch basically Raw from,
right.
you know, 93 on just
right.
with
and
the guys
like,
that can get.
And Stone Cold sets it up where he was like, hey, all right, this is the website that I'm watching this match on. So here's where I'm hitting play, and I'll tell you when I hit pause so we can all kind of link up so you're not just listening to me. I was at work, so I just had to just listen. Like,
mm-hmm.
I didn't have the video in front of me. I was still, like, intrigued because I'm familiar enough with the match in the moment and everything that I kind of knew what he was talking about. But just listening to him, it was so intriguing because I think it all stemmed from, like, someone asked about the crowd reaction when he came out to help Mankind
yeah.
because it's the biggest crowd reaction ever.
Yeah.
And he was like, I could just answer the question, but I feel like I really need to break down exactly why that worked.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so interesting, and you could tell that he still, like, is so passionate about business. So
and
it's just refreshing.
This is something that Stone Cold can do for the rest of his life.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I look forward to, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now, Stone Cold podcasts. Because I feel like they'll be just as... Even though he won't be interviewing... Because he's interviewing Heyman, interviewing Big Show, that kind of thing. There's a lot of stories about, like, remember when we did this?
Right.
And that's been a lot of that stuff. Same with Vince and Triple H both. Remember when we did this? Remember when, you know, we were on the road back in our day?
But they still made it interesting to listen to.
Right. But I feel like 20 years down the road, he won't have those stories anymore.
Right.
But he'll be just as plugged into that person's career, that person's ideas.
Like with Paige. Like, he has no personal history with her. So that's why that's partially why
it's the weakest podcast. But it's not a bad one.
No.
Of the ones that are on the WWE Network.
No, because he's had other people on the podcast that, you know, that wasn't on the network or anything, but he's had other people on the podcast that he doesn't have a personal history with. Like, well, I mean, naturally, him and Colt Cabana would get along perfectly because they're podcasters,
yeah.
You know? So, I know we asked this a lot, but again, like, aside from Undertaker, who is the get right now for the Stone Cold podcast? We all want it to happen, but who else would you throw on there? Like, honestly... I know he's done the show previously before they were doing it on the network, but I would like to see him and Cena.
You know, I would like to see
him. Because I know Cena did the thing with Jericho. But that was more of like, hey, remember when we did that?
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, Chris Jericho.
It was an hour-long bro-fest.
Chris Jericho's podcast is the Chris Farley show. The Chris Farley show.
Chris Farley. Yeah.
It just is. And like,
And half the time you could tell, like, Chris Jericho has no idea what the person was talking about, but he's like, yeah, that's great. That's awesome. And just move on to the next point. Again, because he doesn't do his research.
I'd love to see Stone Cold Cena. Honestly, I want to see Stone Cold and Vince again. I want Stone Cold and Vince to sit down once a year or twice a year. Just, here's the state of the WWE.
Right.
Here's where we came from. Here's where we're looking.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be on the WWE Network, but I'd love to see Stone Cold talk to CM Punk.
Yeah,
like that's
because of all the former guys that are doing podcasts. I feel like that's probably the most likely one.
That's the one where
Punk would be willing to do
now, but like 5-10 years from now,
sure.
When some cooling down has happened,
when some things in the court has been settled.
Yes, I would like to see CM Punk be able to look back and talk about his WWE career,
kind of a little bit more objectively.
Because
even though two Thanksgivings ago, it still felt a little fresh, even though it had been, like, almost 8 months at that point.
And that wasn't about his career. That was about
11 months, really.
That was about the last little bit and the handful of straws that broke the back.
Sure.
Because it was more than one straw. But I would love to see CM Punk sit down, talk about his career at WWE as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Stone Cold and Stone Cold's format is the way to get that.
Sure. And, you know, it would be interesting on exactly, like, what he went through as far as the transition, you know, going towards the MMA thing.
I mean, those are the big ones. There's some stuff that's just got, like, he's going to do Mark Henry at some point, and it's going to be weirdly interesting.
Yeah, because that's how I felt about when Mark Henry went on Peter Rosenberg, and it's like a 40-minute interview. It was really fun. It was interesting, you know. I enjoyed it. I found myself enjoying Mark Henry, which is... Still feels weird sometimes.
Rock would be a good one.
And if anybody would do it, why wouldn't it be Stone Cold?
Yeah. And to Stone Cold and Rock talking about
their
wrestling days,
they would be like, oh, this is such a ratings boost. Let's just have this as the third hour of Raw instead of the network.
Yeah. And
they would have to have a lot of fingers on a lot of buttons between those two.
Yeah. But those guys talking about the wrestling and, like, as a rule, not going past, like, walking tall. So there's not any sort of, like, here's how I did on Baywatch. Here's some funny stories with Zac Efron.
Yeah.
Like, I can get that.
I mean, that's
really good and interesting, and Rock's charismatic. I'll listen to him talk about anything.
Stone Cold's really good about the pacing of his show. So he knows when they've been on one subject too long, he'll change it.
But, like... Talking about the Scorpion King would be really interesting, or specifically Mummy Returns, so like his first time out,
right?
How that was, what his thoughts were in that, you know, first time transitioning, how the locker room felt, how his, you know, what kind of schedule was worked around catered to him, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. So I do think some movie stuff would be really interesting right. between those guys.
But you don't want an hour-long movie podcast right. between two wrestlers.
Right. I want them to... They have three WrestleMania matches I want them to talk mm-hmm. about. So if we make the cutoff 2004, everything before then, like, let's... I would love a Rock Stone Cold podcast. That would need to be longer than an hour.
Yeah. Because that's something, like, Rock doesn't really do long-form interviews.
Yeah.
You know, he does great on press junkets,
mm-hmm.
but that's about as far as that goes. So yeah. I don't know. That would be interesting. I could, we need to do this fast.
Back to the card. All right, yeah.
Because we are an hour into this podcast. So if you're still around listening to this, you got the pre-show match, Kalisto versus Alberto Del Rio. Who you got?
I'm going to give it to Del Rio, I think.
All right.
Could go either way, and I think I'd be perfectly happy for mm-hmm. it to go either way. Like, there's not an outcome I'm going to be bitter about.
Sure.
But I would like to... If this whole League of Nations thing is going to keep going, I would like...
Somebody needs to get a win.
Yeah, and I would like to see the two guys in there that I really care about, especially if Wade Barrett's gone, yeah. the two guys that I really care about be the focus point. Like, they're the goofy backup dancer bodyguards to Sheamus's I'm the Leader character.
Right.
So I'd like to see, you know, the people I care about be the focal point of that faction.
I don't know. I don't think they're ready to get it off of Kalisto just yet. So I'm gonna go with Kalisto.
Perfectly fine.
Six-man tag match, Ryback, Big Show, Kane, Wyatt.
Nope, let me change that.
Nope.
Let me change it to Kalisto. Here's why. Okay. It's the pre-show match. They're going to want an exciting face win on the pre-show match. Go back and watch the pre-show matches. Faces win like 70% of the time.
Do you know you can just make up percentages?
That's why I said like 70% of the time. 7 out of 10. 7 out of 10 times. Okay, yeah, so I'm sorry. Sorry, I know we're not supposed to... I'm going Kalisto.
Okay. Ryback, Big Show, Kane versus all the other members of the Wyatts except for the one interesting one. So, Bray's not fighting.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to say the Wyatts so they can look strong for WrestleMania.
I will say the Wyatts. Do you think the Wyatts are still going to, or at least Bray's going to be facing Brock Lesnar?
Yeah. I don't want it, honestly. I feel like they need to give Bray, like, an obvious win for yeah. WrestleMania for once.
Yeah.
They don't need to, well, sure, but... It would be nice.
Bray's kind of fallen into the trap that CM Punk was talking about, was every time the casual fans watch, so like the four big shows,
right.
you lose a match to a part-timer who doesn't right. really need it. And, you know, that Bray's kind of... He lost to Undertaker last year, he'll lose to Brock this year. But, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to go the Wyatts, but I'm not going to be happy about it.
Fair enough. Kevin Owens versus Ziggler for the Intercontinental Championship.
Give me your thoughts.
I'm thinking Kevin Owens, since he just won it again.
I'll say Ziggler to differ from you.
Right.
It's the kind of thing where, like, I'll be simultaneously happy about whichever sure. one wins, because I love both guys, and at the same time kind of like, who cares? Because both of them are kind of in this WWE doesn't care.
Right.
So, like, everything goes to the same point.
Mm.
So I'll go Ziggler. Just to kind of differentiate our cards.
Wow. Okay. All right. There's five matches on the main card. Two of them are Divas matches.
Huh.
Yeah. We got the tag team match, Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks versus Naomi and Tamina.
Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
Love those.
Banks Lynch. Yeah. I gotta go the same, for obvious reasons. I
mean, yeah.
Build it up. Charlotte versus Brie for the Divas Championship. A lot of people are saying Brie might be leaving the company soon.
So,
a lot of people are saying that this might be Brie's last match.
You think this is her last match?
Some people are saying. I'm not
Here's
sure
the thing.
If
I think
that yet or not.
I think Brie's getting the title one more time. Because of the yes chant. Because Daniel Bryan can't win another match and get a yes chant. But
I think Brie is getting a title match because of the retirement. I don't know if Brie is getting the championship because of it.
You don't think
I don't think they're ready for Charlotte to lose it yet.
You don't think they want
certainly
you,
not.
You don't think they want Yes Chance at WrestleMania?
They might, but they might get it a different way.
Do you think Daniel Bryan showing up at WrestleMania, like on the actual show, more than just a, you know,
showing up,
Heidi
sure.
Howe and a salute?
Showing up, sure, but you know, of course, not in a match.
See, here's the thing.
But I'm thinking involve Bree and.
I'm picking Charlotte to win because I feel the storyline is Charlotte wins through Ric Flair interference,
right.
And so this is the WrestleMania rematch, but Daniel Bryan's in her corner to even out the Ric Flair influence,
right.
And then she wins at WrestleMania, and
yes.
Daniel Bryan
yes.
gets to be in the ring with her for the Yes Chant, for everybody to Yes Chant.
Sure. I'm going to say Charlotte wins.
Yeah, I'll go Charlotte
I don't
wins.
Know exactly how, but or however they're going to book it.
Yeah.
And then that puts us with the...
Roman.
Triple threat for the number one contendership. Ambrose, Romans, and Lesnar.
Yeah, Roman. I'm not.
Roman. He's going to win it.
Yeah.
And the ending of WrestleMania is going to be really interesting.
We'll see what happens. I'm very interested for Monday.
Me too.
I'm probably going to enjoy Sunday. I'm very interested for Monday.
Do you think, as of right now, knowing what the main event is probably going to be, do you think WWE has done enough with Roman in like the past year to secure him not being booed at the end of WrestleMania 32? Because if he's up against Triple H, he's probably going to win.
Yeah. I think if that is the case, it is more what they've done to ensure Triple H is the bad guy than to ensure Roman is the good guy.
They're going to, yeah. They're
Roman,
gonna
if
have,
Roman
like,
gets
despicable heel Triple H.
Yeah.
Like what Triple H did against Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
That 30.
The part of the thing is that with the whole, it might be Dean. They might be switching. Dean might be, you know. If that was the case, then what do you do with Roman? Because Roman's going to be on the card. Roman has been.
Well, I'll put it
Roman up. Has been geared to fight Triple H for months now. Roman and Triple H should be the WrestleMania match. It just shouldn't be for the title.
Right.
That's the only real genuine problem I have. They've done all this work to build this match.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense as a match. It'll probably be a fairly good match.
Sure.
I think those guys should be fighting each other at WrestleMania, but making that the title match is kind of,
yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. And like I said, I was listening to Stone Cold talk to Wade Keller. And so a lot of that was thinking that maybe if the off chance that Dean does go on to WrestleMania against Triple H, an interesting matchup would be Roman and Undertaker. Certainly would be better than Undertaker and Berg Durgan.
I believe that would be much better than that.
Yeah.
But I feel like...
But I feel like that would be, like, if they fully embrace that Roman is going to turn heel.
I feel like they've floated Boogan Dugan as an idea that's pretty much dead at this point. I haven't heard any rumblings about that.
I heard the initial thought that they're like, this is what we're thinking. And as soon as they threw that up the flagpole, everyone gave it... They saluted it, but they saluted it with their middle fingers.
Big Show brought him up specifically about he's learning, he's not made the same mistake twice. And
I mean, and honestly, like,
let's be fair to the dude.
From what he's done so far, he's done his job.
He's done his job.
Well.
He also did not get the...
He's not wowing me, but...
He did not get the training practice, you know, of NXT that everybody gets now.
Right.
He didn't get that opportunity to grow on me as a competitor. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I...
And here's the thing. NXT Magic works on everybody.
Yeah.
100% of the time.
But I think they were kind of wanting for, you know, they wanted him to be a little bit mysterious as far as NXT goes.
And I get that.
Or as far as whenever they brought him in.
I get that. That whole, who is this,
yeah.
They can't have anymore because of NXT. And that's a great
right.
thing
I think
to
he'd only done,
achieve.
Like, a few, like, dark matches for NXT, like, just on the house shows or whatever.
Yeah, I absolutely... I understand that's a really appealing thing that they used to be able to do a lot that they really can't do anymore
right.
because of NXT. So it is, I do agree it is worth the risk, and I'm honestly willing to cut him a little slack just because I like that as a trope
right.
and want to see that happen sometimes.
That they can still play that card. Or at least they're somewhat comfortable playing that card once
yeah.
in a while. And again, like, I just don't think it's the right time for him.
But, like, NXT won me over on Corbin. Like, let's marvel at how impossible that is. And how they still managed to do that.
I may not completely hate him anymore, but I wouldn't say they've won me over.
But that's credit. That's sure, credit to NXT. That's, right, that's not right, credit that, to Baron Corbin.
Sure. Yeah. I still hate Duckface Girl.
Give it time. NXT magic. Mm-hmm. Works 100% of the time.
No, that NXT special reality show that they did or whatever for a few weeks, that didn't help. Because it felt like a lot of that was, Breaking Ground. A lot of it felt like, Dana Brooke, guys. See, she's a real person. You should like her. And I'm like, no, I still don't.
Give it time. Give it time. So you're
not sold on her. Eva Marie, you can still go suck a butt.
Okay, Eva Marie might be the exception.
And Nia Jax had a great match with Bayley, but that's because Bayley. And then like that very next match that she had on NXT a few weeks later was really cringeworthy.
I'm not saying that everybody on NXT is going to have that savior of the the company that like Sami Zayn has, that Finn Balor has, that the Four Horsewomen all have.
Mm-hmm.
You have those, but like the stuff that would not work anywhere else, NXT is going to work with, going to mold. I would point to Tyler Breeze as the best example there. We're like, that is a stupid idea.
But it worked for NXT.
It worked for NXT.
And again, it could work in WWE, but they don't really know what to do with him on the main roster.
Tyler Breeze is now just Fandango.
Yeah.
They don't know the difference between Tyler Breeze and Fandango.
Yeah.
And on Raw, there's not a difference.
Right.
And that's the problem.
Part of that is just, a lack of storytelling.
Yeah, but NXT Magic, NXT Magic is the formula of, well-constructed matches, long-term storytelling, well-built, reasonable rivalries.
Right.
Like, it's not magic.
All the things that we keep saying that wrong.
It's not magic, it's basic working on it.
Sure.
But that's why, Tyler Breeze was a genuine male model character that was a genuine contender for the title.
Right. And you believed it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after that Fatal 4-Way thing that they did for one of the NXTs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And from that point on, it was easier to see him as a main eventer on NXT.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else for this week?
No, I think that's it.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, who live tweet Mondays and all appropriate Sundays, one of which is this Sunday.
Yes, absolutely. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classicringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You can subscribe, get new episodes every week, give us a rating of
5 stars,
that kind of thing. Or if you write a review, helps out the podcast.
And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. Easy way to kind of see what else we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.
Since we're doing the Disney, I'm not gonna mentally make sure I'm gonna say the right intro. Maybe you should intro these.
Nah.
I intro'd the first 200, you intro'd these 200.
Alright. Welcome to the Class Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Chris.
And I'm Tris. Oh, I panicked.
Cut.
I panicked with the switch.